Welcome to the Perfectly Saint Show, episode 158. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
158 is a fantastic number.
Okay.
I'm just having it tattooed on my cap.
Any particular reason?
No, I just feel good about it today.
All right, 158. Jeff is here as well.
Yo.
And Don.
Hey.
Wait, he's not on the podcast, is he?
Oh.
What?
He kind of
kick him out.
He is kind of like one of our partners with the website, so.
Oh, okay. It was a pity offer to be on SCN.
Well, we had this open slot. I'm afraid I might fall asleep.
Yeah,
so.
we need to talk to you at some point about that, because Fozzie is going to like do part-time as well, so we might just split off between you and Fozzie when he's not around.
Whoever's available that week.
Yeah.
Or whoever we like more, based on the camera where the show's recorded.
Whoever sends me more candy and beer in the mail.
Don's trying to send you games, so.
Oh, well, I don't know.
If you're just about the candy and beer, like, Don can help you out with that, too. But.
I'll see if I can send you some candy and beer for review.
All right. I'll review beer if that's what you're thinking.
We should. We should start reviewing beer.
Like add another category to the reviews tab, entertainment, beer, games.
Yeah. I could totally review beer. That would be a fantastic idea.
You should do that once a week.
I honestly have, we do that every week. Right here on the show.
Right now I'm drinking a Dogfish Head 90-minute IPA. It's delicious.
See, I couldn't review it. I'd just be like, this beer tastes good. This beer tastes bad.
Yeah, it's
this
like
beer's a little bit bitter.
I wouldn't know what to do. Like, I had this beer last night, Mysterium. It was a Belgian spiced ale.
Ooh.
It was pretty good, but like I don't know, I was like, it's pretty tasty. I would drink another one of these. That would be my review.
There's a hint of cinnamon in the aftertaste.
That's just it. That's the kind of thing you go for. If it's a Belgian spiced ale, it probably had a fruity flavor, right?
See, I could never review food or beer. It's just it tastes good. Like I don't know. I can't talk about it that way. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't like the blackberry lager I'm drinking now, but yeah, it had like a hint of fruit.
Opposed to like I'm imagining
like
your blackberry lager has syrup added after they brew the beer, so it tastes like blackberries.
This says it's a premium lager with natural flavors and color from juice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically the cuz you can't really brew a lager with fruit, you have to add like the flavor and the color stuff afterwards.
So it's not natural,
right?
Well, I mean, it's natural. It's just not natural. It's not naturally brewed into it. It's natural ingredients,
right?
It's like they pour some juice in. I don't know. I looked it up. Well, I was trying to find this the beer that I'm drinking when I was down in Virginia. It was 200 miles away. It was the closest place to get it, so I was like, that can't be right. But they referred to it as blackberry wine, like the place that was selling it. Like, that's weird.
Interesting.
Clearly says that it's a blackberry lager on the bottle.
Weird.
It's also 8% alcohol, so.
Not bad. All I know is, can we get sponsored by Lagunitas, and they just send us Lagunitas every week?
Jeff just wants cases and cases of it.
I want that shit in my life every day. It's so good. My new favorite. I know I've mentioned this.
Want to explain what you're talking about? Is this a brand of beer?
Yeah,
it's a brewery, and one of the things they make that you see a lot is an IPA, which I think is what Jeff's talking about.
Yeah, that's what I always drink. They make two or three other different things. But
they make a bunch. They have a bunch of beers.
I'm not a big fan of IPAs.
Well, you're gonna pretend you are and drink them. Because we get sponsored.
Damn it, just drink it.
Just drink it every week. You'll get used to it. It's acquired taste.
It's funny. Friends of mine who were in a band years ago, they used to be sponsored by Bud Light, and they hated Bud Light.
But shit, for free, I would drink it all the time, whatever. Tony, don't you ruin this.
No, oh, I just realized that my mic has been muted for the past 10 minutes.
This is the IPA.
That's
I'm gonna get
problem,
sick
though.
The IPA pretty quick.
No way.
I've been trying to butt in for like the last like 5 to 10 minutes now, and I'm just like, oh, okay.
You do like a nice coffee stout, you know?
I just look down and my mic's been muted. Oh. Okay. I didn't want to talk about that beer. All right.
Good.
You didn't really have anything interesting to say. Your mic knew that.
So welcome to the beer cast, where Chris and Jeff goes, that tastes good. Or that tastes
one
bad.
Last beer. Do you guys like grapefruit?
No.
Yes.
No.
And especially okay. In a beer flavor.
Okay, Tony. Shiner's like a big thing around here because it's kind of local. I think it's called Ruby Red or Red. It's really good.
Yeah.
I got a six pack of it the other day whenever I was working on my car, and that stuff was good. It had a real nice grapefruit taste to it. So.
Yeah, I've had some IPAs that have like the grapefruit finish. It's very nice.
I'm gonna have to look into more of them.
I don't like any sort of fruit flavor in my beer. Although, pumpkins are fruit, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I did try Blue Moon, like their
pumpkin ale.
Yeah, not bad. But and the thing is, I don't really like Blue Moon. But
oh, I love Blue Moon.
I like them.
Blue Moon is pretty good.
Yeah. If you get a good pumpkin ale, you can get like them tasting like pumpkin pie. So they got like the cinnamon and the
Oh, you need to shoot me some names. I'll go track those down. Sounds good. Pumpkin pie beer. Mm.
Yes.
I want beer though. That's I don't know.
That's true. I like that.
So,
like,
I mean, at the end of the day, it's all beer anyway. You just want that expanded flavor experience.
I just want something that tastes like juice.
Orange juice and vodka.
Well, I mean, like, if I'm going vodka, like, cranberry juice. But orange juice will work in a pinch.
Yeah, I don't like vodka, but cranberry juice and vodka, I could deal with that.
Yeah.
I'm one of the weird people that likes cranberry juice. I don't know. I don't think I know what I do.
I like cranberry juice. Oh, yeah, you
gotta get cranberries on my cereal every morning.
You do what?
Cranberries are great.
Cranberry juice is very dry, but it tastes good to me.
Yeah. Which I like dry wine too. I guess that explains the correlation there.
Let's just talk about alcohol and get drunk for 2 hours.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right.
Isn't that basically what we do every week?
Well, sometimes we don't talk about alcohol for 2 hours, but yeah, we basically get drunk every week.
Sometimes we talk about video games.
Yeah. Which maybe we let's do that.
Good idea, Jeff.
Who wants to kick us off? Who's been playing something?
I got a lot.
All right, well,
but
Don.
Don's been playing everything because Don's been playing for the cards.
All right, well, we'll get to the cards.
Yeah.
All right, so before we get into Don's card addiction, is there anything you wanted to touch on, Don?
Well, I started playing Teleglitch today, Die More Edition. That came out today, actually. I got the code for it today. It's a top-down roguelike. Has a real retro aesthetic to it. Real blocky, not a lot of details. I don't know. It seems fun so far. I'm kind of confused because there's not a lot of loot to it. You know, like whenever I think of roguelike, I think of like leveling up and getting loot and progressing further and then dying. And then starting all over again.
Right. So start so back far, from square one, level one.
Yeah. Literally square one in this one. It's real blocky. But it has some action to it, but there's just not a, I think the lack of loot is really just what has me not really digging it so far. So I played through, I shot some things and I died. It's okay. Played through again, got a little further and died.
So it's a roguelike shooter?
Yeah, there's guns. You're up in a spaceship. And let's see. Like, you start with a pistol.
Right.
So there's mostly guns. Like, you get dynamite and stuff, too. But I don't know. It just seems it's really slow-paced for a roguelike to me. I'm used to just kind of playing through at a regular pace. I want to say it has a little bit of a survival horror type thing because your ammo is really limited. all of a sudden you run out of ammo and you get a swarm of mutants coming at you. Like, oh, shit. So you're swiping your sword, your knife at them and backing up. And I don't know. I've only played for about 20 minutes, so I'm hoping it picks up a little bit and gets a little more interesting. So.
All right.
I don't know.
Anything else you've been playing there? You had a long list of...
I played Infestation Survival Stories for about 15 minutes.
Did it work? It did work,
but it sucked. Like, by myself, it was a terrible experience. I'm waiting for you to finally install it. Wait, what?
Okay, so like, I've heard playing by yourself is the way to play that game because, maybe if you're playing with real friends, like, it might be a little bit better, but when you partner with somebody, when they can see you on their map, and for people with, you know, randoms, when you kind of, you meet up with somebody, what's been happening is those people have been going and killing their partners and stealing all their shit.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm gonna, nice.
Maybe not team up with anybody ever.
Especially Chris, who is heartless.
That's not true.
That game has a Metacritic of 20, by the way.
It's gonna be so good.
I think they switched the Metacritic over from the reviews in the fall.
Right, when it was because Metacritic doesn't, they don't update.
They don't change ever.
Right.
Like once you're reviewed, you're reviewed.
Yeah, and it still says the War Z on it, right? If you go to that page, yeah.
And they won't change the name.
That whole thing is pretty funny.
I didn't enjoy it at all, but I'll probably dig back into it.
Is it ugly?
It's not good. It's certainly not good. It looks pretty bad. But I can forgive that if the game actually is fun to play, you know?
Right.
But
like, I mean,
I don't
State
see that
of Decay
happen.
Is kind of an ugly game.
Yeah, that looks like it would be ugly, but it looks like it'd be fun.
But it's fun, yeah, that's the difference. Okay. Like, I mean, it has a lot of technical issues, but you forgive it because they get so much right.
Right. And I don't think this is going to get near as much right, but it was like, I paid like $2 and some change for this game. So,
yeah, it was cheap.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? Here's a game that I'll probably never play or play for half an hour, but I'll be damned, I'll get my $2.50 out of it.
Are there cards for it?
No, there are not, which is another reason I have not been playing by myself.
All right, anything else on your list of PC games you've been playing this week?
Somebody else can go for next, you know. I don't have to steal like a whole half hour bracket.
All right, well, I'll jump in. I've been playing Rogue Legacy.
I almost bought it.
It didn't have cards, which is why it didn't. I'll confess, but go on. How is it?
I really like it. It's so to lay this out, Rogue Legacy is similar to the game Don was just talking about. Not just talking about the one before that. it's a rogue-like game, although they term it a rogue-lite game. Jeff, do you know what a roguelike is?
Is that kind of like a dungeon crawler with randomly generated dungeons, or no?
Yeah, and when you die, you're done. Like, there's no, you can't save.
It's like hardcore mode in
basically
Diablo.
Every single time. It's always hardcore mode. What Rogue Legacy does, though, is when you die, your gold gets transferred to your children. And when you die, you have an option of choosing one of three children to carry on your quest.
Huh.
So early on, there's only a few different classes. So, like, there's your paladin, mage, knave, barbarian, like, stuff like that. And as you go, you get gold and... you could spend the gold on upgrades to your castle, which basically are just upgrades to your characters. So health, armor, stuff like that. You can also buy armor and runes, which add skills. And that stuff all gets passed down after you die. The catch, though, is when you enter the castle to continue your quest, Charon takes all your gold. So you start out with zero gold every time you enter the castle. So you have to spend all your gold before you go into the castle, or else you lose it.
Huh.
So you go in, you die, you buy your upgrades, you go back in. Once you go back in, the castle has changed. Every time you go in, the castle is a different layout. It's the same castle, but the layout is completely different. So it's all randomized, just like, you know, Jeff had mentioned. And you're going through trying to get all this gold. And there are different bosses that you need to beat. You need to find these bosses and kill them. I have gotten up to the castle boss about 7 or 8 times out of about 70 or 80 lives. And I have not beaten it yet. What was that, Joe?
Is it like normal dungeon crawler perspective?
No,
or like...
so it is, when you go in, it is side-scroller, so it's
nice.
A lot like Castlevania.
Nice.
But it's like hardcore Castlevania where you die. Like, I mean, it's platforming, there are spikes, there are all sorts of different monsters to hit, and it's old school. Kind of Castlevania platforming where the enemies have tells. So you'll see, like, you know, they'll go to attack and you see the animation move, so you know what kind of attack they're going to do. Or
to, like, wind up or something.
Right, or like the skeleton, like, pulls back his arm, and when he pulls back his arm, you know that he's going to toss a bone in the air.
Yeah.
So it's like old school 8 and 16-bit. Action platforming. And you just keep moving on. The bosses are huge. They're massive. They take up like the entire screen. And the castle boss, which I've gotten up to a few times now, it's this giant eyeball that spews out like these red blood clots at you.
I'm actually looking at a picture of it right now.
If you get hit by them, they hurt. And there's a couple different patterns, so you want to figure out the patterns to how they're, you know, spewing this stuff out and trying to attack it. I actually got up to the forest boss earlier today. It's like, that's the whole thing, is there's no, you beat this boss and you move on to the next area. Like, everything is open for you right from the get-go. It's like figuring out this map and going through and trying to find the bosses in each of the areas so that you can open up the final area.
But do the bosses permanently die once you kill them?
I believe so.
Okay.
So that's probably the only thing that actually does change. There are chests, and in the chests there are blueprints, which you can then bring to your blacksmith. There are other chests that have runes in them. You can bring that to your median, and she... like, you can then attach these runes onto your armor, and they're all stackable, so I have a rune now that allows me to double jump, and it also has upped my gold increase, so where a gold coin before was, like, 10 points, 10 gold, now I'm getting, like, 12, because I've upgraded one of my skills to get more gold, and I have a rune that gives me more gold. I've also actually upgraded one of my skills, so... not all of my money is taken in, just 87% of it every time I go through. So one of the other cool things, though, is each of the children that you spawn, they have different traits, and that affects how the game is played. Like, sometimes like, you might have ADHD, and your guy is, like, a little bit quicker. You might have dyslexia, so when you cast spells, they go behind you. there is one, vertigo, where the game is actually played upside down. So, like, if you were to stand on your head, you would be looking at the screen normally, which is really fucking hard to play that way. There's stupid ones too, like a irritable bowel syndrome where your guy just farts the entire time.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just really well done, and right now I'm like level 42. Each time you upgrade something in your castle, you go up a level. But the different classes have different hit point amounts, so if you're a miner, you have like a bonus towards getting gold, but your health is really low. But if you're like a barbarian, your health is really high. If you're a paladin, you're kind of like the perfect go. You have strong attack, plus you have high hit points. Assassins have like medium hit points, but high critical attacks. And then there's a one called Shinobi, where they have high attacks, but low, they can't do any critical hits. So it's just really, like, there's a whole bunch of different, like, things. And, like, when you get these three choices, you're like, oh crap, like, which one do I choose? Like, am I gonna do a money run, or am I gonna make a run at, like, the boss? So, like, if you have a barbarian there, or a miner, you're like, do I want to upgrade a little bit more, or do I want to kind of like bulldoze my way through? So it's a really, really, really cool. I put about 4 hours into it so far, and it's a game where you just like sit down and you play it. Like, I'm gonna play a couple rounds. I'm just gonna play a couple lives, and then 2 hours passes, and you played like 30 lives. And it's just like a great time suck. It's wow. So good.
Yes, I'm sad that I did not buy this now.
You sold me on it. List. If they release it on console, I'll buy it.
And that's the other thing. Like, it has no... I'm pretty sure it has no keyboard or mouse support, so it's like a controller game.
Oh, shit.
So you, like there's pretty much no reason this can't be on 360 or PS3 or Wii U.
Rogue Legacy, we're gonna hang out after the winter Steam sale.
Yeah, it's so good. I think you guys will have a lot of fun. It's quickly becoming one of my favorite games this year.
Oh, nice. Man.
Tony, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Dragon Age Origins Ultimate Edition.
Welcome to 3 years ago.
Oh, actually, longer than that.
Right?
I'm kidding.
Right?
Yeah. That came out during Bad Company too.
Yeah, and it was good then, but
yeah.
I played it on 360. I had not played the PC version yet, and of course, this is the Ultimate Edition, so it has all the DLC. I hadn't touched Dragon Age Awakening, which is like a full new game. It's a lot of fun. I had forgotten how much fun it is to play RPGs like that with the whole team-based, ordering people around and, like, exploring the world. It's a really, really fun game. You can tell that it's a few years old now, though, because the graphics are kind of blocky and ugly.
And they weren't great when it came out, either.
They weren't great when they came out, so now it really sticks out. But the game is so much fun. And the fact that the first time I played through the game, I played as a human warrior. And I haven't played it since, so this time I played as an elf mage. And, of course, the game has different starting points depending on what you decide to play as. So when I played as a human, I was a nobleman, and I, like, a whole bunch of stuff happened. My house was attacked or whatever. Playing as a mage, my origin story is completely different. Like, the entire first, like, 3 hours of the game is utterly changed, which I think is really cool, and a lot of the characters that you meet interact with you differently because of that origin story. So it basically gives you a completely new story experience, and the fact that I'm playing on PC, which is a lot different in this game than it would be to play on a console, is making me feel like I'm playing something completely fresh and completely new. I mean, it's a great story. I know a lot of the stuff that's going to happen, but the fact that so many of the characters are treating me differently and I'm having to do different stuff, it's made it really worth going back to. And the fact that I could do it in the Steam sale for like what, $8 or whatever, was made it really worth coming back to.
Yeah, I almost picked that up too.
Yeah, I don't regret it. Like, I've seen it go on sale a few times, and I've had the Xbox 360 version of the Ultimate Edition sitting in my Amazon wish list forever, but it never goes on sale, and I can tell why. Like, it's just so good.
Now, did you play Dragon Age 2?
Yes. Which I did not enjoy as much.
Yeah, and I know you didn't play it on PC, but from what everybody said is it's the same version on everything this time, or like that time.
I knew that too.
Yeah, because like what I really liked about Dragon Age on PC was it plays like the original, like Baldur's Gate, like the
it's
old
like those
Bioware.
Baldur's Gate games. It's exactly like that.
Yeah. Which I really, really liked about it. Like that was one of the reasons like I made it all the way through that game. So that's cool to hear that it still holds up pretty well.
Yeah, it's fun.
Which I mean, Baldur's Gate still holds up pretty well. So
I have enhanced edition of that too. I got it sitting around.
Yeah, that's a fun game. Jeff, you been playing anything?
Mostly Deus Ex, but I did try XCOM.
Okay. Yes. Well, yeah, we want to hear about this because you tried this. I have to play BioShock now, but that's fine.
Yeah, it's it's really fucking cool. Actually, I'm surprised. I'm very surprised by how much I like it because it's not like I don't think I've played very many games like this, if any at all. You know.
Well, yeah, I mean, we talked about it last year. Like, I'm not a big strategy gamer, but this game kind of hits all the points, and it's. I don't know for you, like, I found it really easy to jump into. They do a great job of teaching you how to play it. And
yeah, it kind of happens as you're playing, kind of like how they do it really well with Pikmin, where you'll just kind of... I think Pikmin does it a little bit better, because this is throwing a lot at you after, like... The thing I don't like is the amount of stuff you have to do between missions, where it's
the base building and shit.
There. It's like, dude, I don't care about this stuff. Automatically do it in the background or whatever, or let me use it from a menu.
Let me shoot alien.
Yeah. But, like, the missions themselves are really fun, and I really like how they cinematically present the stuff, where, like, at least once every turn, like, it'll show your dude running and going to shoot the alien.
Like, kicking through the door or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, when the alien, like, when it's, like, alien activity, and, like, it'll show it from, like, a cinematic angle, and it'll show one of your dudes getting shot or, like, whatever. So, yeah, it's really cool. Like, I like it a lot. I like the vibe of that series, too. Like, my first exposure to the series was the TV at work that kept showing one day, like, really long, like, preview for the Bureau. And I was like, man, this is awesome. It's like the 50s and you're fighting aliens and shit. This is, like, slightly different, it seems like, but it's, like, ultra serious, but you're still just fighting, like, regular old, like, gray aliens, like, the classic aliens, you know? Like, that's really cool. It's, like, ultra serious, and it's just, like, pew, 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 and you're shooting, like...
have you been naming your squad mates?
No, I didn't think. I'm like, dude, I tried it out like late last night, and then I woke up a little early today and played it for a little bit, and ended up being late for work because of that.
Nice.
But what was the other thing I was gonna say about it? Oh, so like I played through the tutorial and the first two missions last night, and in the second mission I like fucked up badly, and I was like. It was like four people I could bring with, like all together, and I was down. I was trying to get this girl back to like this ship or something, like save this girl on the other side of the map. And by the time I'd gotten her back to the other, like back to where we needed to bring her to, like three of my guys had died, and I was on like I thought I was about to die, and I luckily killed the alien. And I was like, "Fuck!" I'm like, "But like you permanently lose these guys who level up." So I was like, "I just turned the game off." And then, like, I turn it back on, and luckily the game doesn't autosave at all. It's, like, totally up to you when you want to save it or whatever. So, like, that's cool. Like, I do see myself, though, going through the game, and, like, anytime I lose my guys, I'll just fucking restart the mission.
Now, you can actually play the game on a mode that doesn't allow you to do that.
Right.
Yeah. So, I'm playing
he's
on
like,
easy.
Yeah, no.
I'm playing on easy because they're like, are you new to tactical games? I'm like, yes, I am. And I'm like, I'm going to play it on easy to like give myself the greatest shot of enjoying it. And I'm like excited to play more of it. So
yes.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You need to go through
in your
face. All your squad
mates. It's very cool. All
right. Any more on Deus Ex?
I pretty much love it, except for the boss fights, but that's been the same all along, I guess.
Yeah, you know? It's kind of how that game goes.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, but...
It's really worth it, though.
Alright, I guess Don and I should talk about Saints Row the Third.
Yes.
I've been planning on playing it. I played Saints Row 2 earlier this year. I've been planning on playing it anyway, because I saw Saints Row 4 at PAX East, and that game looks like a fucking blast. So I was like, I kind of want to play the rest of them. Just, I mean, I know the story's not a big deal, but it does continue each one somehow. So I mean, I wanted to kind of get the overall feel of it. What do you think so far, Don?
I don't know. I haven't played a whole lot. All of the games I played, pretty much most of them, is like an hour or less each. And this one was about an hour, maybe. I played a couple of the missions after the world unlocks, you know.
Right.
It runs really smooth on my computer, which was why I kept playing it, because I was really impressed. But I don't know. It's fun, but I don't know. Maybe it's just the overly goopiness of it, which
that's what I'm loving about it. Like,
I guess maybe
so
that's
stupid.
Just what I
it's
don't
just,
like.
Like, it's just totally ridiculous. Like,
I like the character customization. Like, all that shit's really cool. But
like, I just did a mission where you go into you're rescuing some people, and you go into this underground S&M bar type thing, and you rescue the guy you have to rescue, but instead of you actually rescuing him, he is attached to a chariot, and he's dressed in like a gimp outfit, and you have him running like Chariots of Fire with you attached to like this fucking chariot, and you're like shooting these other chariots that are chasing you with gimps attached to them.
God,
it's so stupid. This is great.
Yeah, it is really over the top. Like, I'm kind of curious to see how. I watched a lot of Saints Row 3. My wife played it a lot. She finished the game. She was going to platinum it, but there was some kind of glitch with one of the missions, so she couldn't platinum it. She's pretty pissed. But I watched quite a bit of it, and it was pretty funny to watch. But it's not something that I've just, I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old, and I don't know.
Don now hates fun.
I guess that's it. That's exactly it. I hate fun.
So
fun hater.
I think that this might be what turns Tony to play it. I had major problems with Saints Row 1 and 2 because of the way they locked missions.
Yes.
They locked them behind rep points, so you had to go out and do other things to unlock these missions. I'm a third of the way through the game, and that rep stuff matters for shit. You call up a mission on your phone, you do it right away.
The game is also way shorter.
Oh yeah, it's only about 12-15 hours total, so, which I'm alright with. Like, I don't need it to be a 30-hour experience or anything. Like, I don't have 30 hours to play most games anyway, so. The missions so far, they're totally retarded. They're so dumb. Like, there's one where you're on a game show where you're shooting mascots. Like, they're dressed as bunnies or as giant soda bottles or, it makes no sense, but it's just so dumb. It's fun. Like, I've been having a blast with it, and I like that nothing is locked behind go out and do this shit you don't actually want to do. They still give you missions where it's like, all right, well, here's our side missions, and they work that into the story though. So it's like, do this, like the drug running stuff. It's like, all right, we're gonna run some drugs, and you like get your guy and you do that mission, and then after that mission's over, then the rest of those side missions open up. But you can just continue on with the story. And as Don said, it runs really smooth. I'm playing it on a PC. Runs really, really smooth. The game looks really pretty.
Yeah.
As Don said, like the customization is really crazy and in depth.
I think if I had a controller, I would like it a little more. I'm playing with a mouse and keyboard, which I guess is okay.
But, yeah, it's probably not the best way to play that.
Which I'm sure PC gamers are like, oh, you guys are stupid, but.
Yeah, but that seems like a console game to me. Like, it's, like, that's what it is. I'm just happen to be playing it on my PC. It's a lot of fun though. Like, I mean, at least for me, like, I enjoyed Saints Row 2. This just, it ramps up the insanity to a whole new level, and, 4 looks even more crazy. Like,
oh yeah.
That's the game starts off with you robbing a bank, dressed as yourselves, like with
yeah.
just with giant heads. Like, so you have the Johnny Gat head on, like you all have Johnny Gat heads on, and you're robbing this bank. And one of your crew members is an actor, and he is trying to get, like data on how you guys do things. So he's like on a ride along with you as you rob a bank, and as you're robbing the bank, people are coming up to you and going, "Can you sign my boobs?"
Yeah,
because you've just become this like ridiculous cultural phenomenon, and it's crazy. Like I think they did a really good job. Like the writing, the dialogue, I think is really funny, and some of the incidental dialogue is really really good. There's a whole scene where you're in a car and you guys are singing like that. That happened in 2 as well, but it's just way better done. Like there's a whole lot of funny commentary.
I think that it's a really funny game. I'm like me not liking it. I don't understand why. I just don't. I can't get into it because whenever I'm playing it, I laugh. You know,
mm-hmm.
like I don't understand at all. Whenever I watch my wife play it, I was laughing. Like that's funny, but. For some reason, I just could not get into playing the game. So I don't know. It's like the complete opposite of Farming Simulator to me. Like I should not like Farming Simulator, and I should like Saints Row.
Yeah.
But it's the complete opposite. So I can't figure it out. So
it's all right.
Whatever.
I know Jeff was a big fan of like Saints Row 2, but he didn't like 3 either. So
yeah, and
I didn't like 3.
It's kind of the same thing where I'm like, I don't know why I don't like this because I want that series to go in the direction that it's going. Which
yeah.
is the way it should go. It should just be fun.
Right.
But, like, it was just, it felt like it was way less ambitious outside of that than 2. Like, 2 was like the San Andreas of that series where it was just like, you could build up gangs and this and that. And, like, a lot of that's been taken out of this for just like a 10-hour, like, goofy
game. But all that stuff's there. You just have to go do it. Like, it's on the outside. It's not part of the main story. Like, that.
Yeah, but.
2 forced you to do that stuff.
Yeah, and I guess maybe that's maybe what made 2 longer
okay.
to me.
Oh,
but,
yeah, that definitely made it longer.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, and then maybe I'm just kind of,
oh, douchey. Like
yeah,
this.
I'm like, I'm not, yeah. just not as in love with, the thing about Saints Row to me, the reason I loved it to start off with is because when Saints Row 1 came out, there was no GTA on 360 yet.
Right. I mean, it was a decent GTA clone.
Yeah, and it's, you know, yeah, it was fine. But, like, you know, I think as time goes on, like, I just really like those really well-done Rockstar games where I'd rather, like...
Oh, yeah, I'm not, like, I don't... I'm certainly not going, this is, you know, a replacement for GTA. It's the alternative to it. Like, if you are not a fan of that, you want something more crazy, more outlandish, this is what that is. Like,
yeah, I'd like to think that I would be, like, both. Like, there's people that are like, yeah, fuck GTA, like, I'm just gonna play Saints Row. But for me, I'm kind of almost in the other direction now, where I'm like, you know what, I don't have time for this. GTA's coming out, it's gonna be amazing. And,
GTA
I don't know.
GTA's gonna be amazing.
Yeah.
I think GTA's gonna be a blast, but I think I'm gonna have a whole lot of fun with Saints Row 4 in a few weeks.
Yeah?
I mean, just like, there's a fucking dubstep gun where it like shoots and then when the drop happens, like it knocks all the people down. Like, it's just stupid. It's like, I mean, like you said, it's that outlandish part of San Andreas, which GTA has lost. Like that's no longer what GTA is. I mean, at least I didn't get that feeling from GTA 4.
I didn't like GTA 4, but...
I liked it.
I liked it too. I thought it was excellent.
Yeah.
I finished it.
Suck it down. Suck it long and suck it hard.
Anyway, that's Saints Row. Anybody else play anything?
I played more Reus, which is a lot of fun.
Did you talk about that last week?
I did talk about it a little bit last week. I played a lot more of it. It's kind of cool that as you, have you played it yet, Chris? I know you bought it, right?
No, I bought it. I haven't played it yet.
You bought like everything.
So basically, you have your giants, your four giants that you control as God, and these giants, manipulate this one 2D world that you have. And they can, like create oceans and raise mountains and make forests and swamps and that kind of stuff. And as you create these things, then civilization forms and people settle the land and they found their little towns and the towns expand. And your giants can create like plants and mines and stuff that allow the civilization to grow and grow better. And the farther you get, the more you help these civilizations, they'll give your giants what they call ambassadors, mm-hmm. which will level them up and give them like special abilities, so that they can create better stuff for the people and help you advance farther. But as these civilizations grow bigger, they'll start to get greedy and they'll start like fighting with each other. You'll see them like send little Viking longships after each other or like send out little armies to fight and try to win at war. And if they lose too many wars, and the civilization might be destroyed, and you'll just watch the city like just get annihilated. Also, if they don't have enough respect for your power, they'll start attacking your giants, like shooting like arrows and stuff at them.
Okay.
But your giants can, of course, fight back. Like, one of them throws, like, a stink bomb, which causes a whole bunch of people, like, smell it and then die. Then you have a mountain giant who can, like, cause earthquakes, that kind of stuff. So there's a lot going on, I suppose. As far as I had gotten, the game didn't seem that deep. But then again, it's, like, a really small downloadable title.
Right.
So you start getting in your, like, 6-7 hours, like, okay, I've pretty much done everything now. It was fun, though. Definitely a fun game. Definitely worth the pickup.
I will be playing it at some point. So it's on that list of games that I got in the past week.
How many games did you buy?
How many games did you buy?
A lot.
I'm guessing
he doesn't
want to
state the number for the record.
60.
I think that's what
No, it's not that many.
Oh, okay.
It's not quite that many.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have the exact number, but it wasn't quite that many. I did get a lot of games though. So the Steam sale happened, and then Dom became addicted to cards.
Oh God. It's bad. That's bad. Steam is bad.
I was watching John play like every game under the sun, like games I had never heard of.
Yeah. And then games that I had, they now have cards. I gotta play them.
Yep.
So Jeff, since you don't have Steam, I'll give you a basic rundown. Steam has achievements just like, you know, PlayStation and Xbox, but, they have added this new collectible item that you get for playing the games, these trading cards. And these trading cards, when you get a complete set, they turn into a badge, which helps you up your Steam level. And when you up your Steam level, you get more shit in your inventory. And I think I got a coupon or something for some game I'm never gonna buy.
Yep. Same
here. Oh, you get actual coupons?
Oh yeah. Sometimes, like, I mean, it's all random drops. So like, some of it. Like, what do I have in my inventory right now?
Is that a game?
Yes.
It is.
On top of the games.
It's terrible.
66% off of Defender's Quest.
Oh, dude, I would totally take that.
Well, we'll send it over to you.
I'll trade you the 90% off Hamilton's Great Adventure.
No, I'm good.
Not that you'll use it, but...
didn't you sell enough cars that you could just go ahead and buy that now?
I have $4.89.
So that's the other side of this, is you can sell your cards on the marketplace. And you get credit in the Steam store for it.
Yep. I bought Monaco for like $3 or $4 because I had like $3 or $4.
Just
from selling cards.
Using the money to buy other cards.
No. To buy a game.
That's what I've been doing. I've been selling duplicate cards to buy other cards so I can make my badges.
Yeah. But I've just been selling like everything for games that I don't give a shit about.
So you can get more cards, because Monaco has cards, right?
No, so that I can buy other games.
Which have cards, so you can get more cards.
Well, yeah, kind of.
You asked me the other day if I had gotten any booster packs. I woke up this morning and there was a Bastion booster pack.
Nice.
In my inventory.
I got one for Rays. So.
Yeah, so some of the cards are more rare, and I don't know. There's foil cards as well. I don't know what that means.
You can sell them for more money.
Well, yes, but I don't know what the difference is.
Like, oh, yeah. Like, I think the only visual difference that I've noticed is a little silver instead of blue.
Around the edge, yeah.
But I don't understand. I think I'm in the same boat. I don't understand what makes them better, per se.
Right.
Like, if you fuse that with other cards, like, does that make that badge better?
Right. If you get all the silver cards, is there something?
No, because you can only up your badge 5 times, so...
Oh, I see.
So it doesn't make your badge any better. I'm just wondering, maybe, like, if you use a foil card and you craft a badge, if it then gives you back a regular card? I don't know. I don't have any foil cards, so... It's this giant metagame, though.
Yeah.
That has Don playing everything in his Steam library. And some of those, there's some weird games in here that have cards. Like, there's, like, this adventure game called Anna that I have that has cards. Total War Shogun 2 has cards.
Yeah,
Tony's
I have 5 of them. I need 2 more.
Nice.
But Beat Hazard evidently just got cards. Ooh, I'll be playing that again.
Exactly. See? Now you see.
I saw you went back and played DLC Quest, which I would probably...
I did, actually.
Might not do, but...
Well, here's the trick. Now, this is...
Are you just playing the game in the background?
On certain games, yes.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing it right now, Don?
No, I'm not. I swear I'm not.
I don't believe you.
I did that with 2 games. I did that with Cherry Tree High Comedy Club, because that game is ass. So I let it run in the background for 3.5 hours and got my 5 cards, which all sold for about 60 cents to $1.20 each, which is way more than the average card. Way more. Most cards go for like 20 cents each, tops. 12 to 20 cents. And the other game I did that with was whenever I got home today, I ran Hotline Miami for about, I don't know, an hour. Got a card. Half an hour. Got a card. So, yeah.
What I do like about the selling of the cards is it'll give you a graph of like the last 2 weeks, and it'll tell you what, you know, they started out selling. So I have this Chivalry Medieval Warfare card in my inventory, and if I click sell, when the Steam sale started, they were going for $1.80.
Yeah.
Today they're going for 18 cents.
Yep.
So that's a huge drop off, but
so whatever cards come out, like the quicker you can get the cards, and if you're gonna sell them, then you usually get a pretty good turnaround of about $1.
Yeah, I have a feeling that these summer sale cards will go up in price again at some point as they become more rare, as people start getting rid of their stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. It's been a pretty fun though. I mean, like I played DLC Quest. I played it whenever I first got it.
You told me you were playing it.
Yeah, I played through the first half of the game, I guess, and then after they added cards, I was like, you know what? That gives me an excuse to go back and play the second half, even though I technically didn't have time to do it. I did it anyway. Like there was other games I would have played, but well, you know what? Since they added cards and badges and shit, I'll go back and play it. Saints Row the Third, I tried it on my computer because of the cards, and I was pretty impressed how it ran. I might go back and play it some more. So there's a whole bunch of other games now though that I'm like, well, what are we gonna play today?
And it's pretty funny because you could sell almost everything, like not just the cards, like you can sell, like I have emoticons that I could sell.
Yeah, but they go for like 2 cents.
It's weird though, because
it is.
Some of them are going for like 4 cents, but there's these weird spikes where they sold for $2.62.
Oh shit!
It doesn't make any sense. It's crazy. Like it's the dumbest yet smartest idea that
is, yeah.
Like it's completely addictive.
It is.
I do wish that you could get all your cards just by playing it. Like I don't necessarily want to interact with people I don't know.
Right, or even friends for that matter. I'm like, I did have fun the first probably 3 or 4 days asking Tony. I was like, oh, do you have this for Raves? No. Fuck.
Yeah, Tony. I gave Tony some my summer cards.
Yeah.
I traded with another friend. He had some Bastion cards, and I gave him a bunch of summer cards, which helped me get my Bastion level up.
Did you end up getting 2 summer badges?
Yes.
He got 5, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm
done.
I actually traded enough with people that I was able to max it out.
Oh my god.
Right? I think he's lying. I think he spent so much on the store that he got enough cards to do the 5.
It's all random anyway. You'd still have to trade.
Right.
I kept getting Prison Architect and Football Manager all the fucking time. I got so many of them.
I feel like I got a lot of those too as well. I think I got Football Manager 3 times.
Yeah, at the end, I actually sent you a message asking if you needed any cards. Like I had like 4 Football Managers. Like that was all I had. Do you need this? No. No, I don't.
No.
Everyone has that one.
Of course, then you went and sold them. And
yeah.
Someone bought them. Who's buying these? That's what I want to know. Like
I've sold some and then turned around and spent that money on cards. That's how
right.
I finished my DLC quest badge. But, like, that was all money that I got from selling cards. So I didn't actually
right, you're
put
not
any
spending
of
actually.
My physical money into it.
Right. At some point, somebody threw a bunch of money into this.
Right. Right.
Somebody would have to.
And, of course, every sale, what is it? The publisher gets 1 and Steam gets 1 cent. So, like, money's being shaved off every time, too.
Yeah, there's a Steam gets a nice little cut each time one of these cards gets sold.
Yeah.
It might be time for me to put all my summer sale, the 5 summer cards I have left, put them all up on there. Get some money.
For sale.
Yeah.
You got to figure, like the demand's going up because now people can't get them anymore.
Yeah, that's why I was gonna wait because they're all still sold about 20 cents or so.
Like the Steam card economy going on now.
But yeah,
live.
It's just crazy. There's like free to play games that have.
Yeah,
cards.
But you got to spend money on those.
Yeah, like, they don't go by playtime. They go by amount of money you spend.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, cause yeah, I know
like every $9 you spend in game, you get a card.
Okay. So like, I saw Warframe had cards, and I know that Ryan Sharpshot has been playing a bunch of that. So Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll pick that up, but if that's how you're getting the cards there, fuck that.
Yeah, because I picked up, what was it? I started playing Soldier Front 2, which was actually pretty fun. But then once I realized I had to spend money, I'm like, I got other shit to do.
I saw you playing. I was like, should I tell him? No, I'm not going to tell him.
It was fun, though. Like, if I just had nothing to do with my life and I had no money to spend on games, which I really don't. But if I did review games for a living, how's that? Not a living. Second living.
For a hobby.
There you go. Then I would probably sink quite a bit of time into that because it was pretty fun.
Yeah. Oh well. So that's Steam cards. I'm not sure what the purpose is other than stupid time wasting, but it's fun.
They're there. They exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do some news.
All right. I guess we're gonna start off with some Xbox One news. But actually we're gonna start off by making fun of Don.
Why?
Because Don wrote an article a couple of days ago about how reasons to buy the PS4 at launch, and one of those reasons was their support of indie developers.
Yeah.
Xbox One, of course, came out the next day, and Microsoft said that they would be allowing indies to self-publish on Xbox One. But not only that, but anyone who owns an Xbox One, and that's any user anywhere, can use that as a dev console for making new games.
I swear to God they read my article.
Well, your article also said probably shouldn't buy a PlayStation 4 this year.
Yeah. I stand behind that. I mean,
no, it's not. It's sound advice.
It is.
Yeah.
It's Jeff.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. What do you think about that the indie news about Xbox One?
I didn't totally follow what was going on with that.
So basically they'll be allowing indies to self-publish on Xbox just like they can on PS4.
And they weren't before.
Additionally, every Xbox One console will be able to be used as a dev console. You won't have to purchase them.
Well, that's
so anybody cool. will be able to use it. Yeah. That feature, however, will not be available at launch. That's something they'll be patching in later. But
how do you patch that in?
See, you keep hearing about this stuff, but think of what the Xbox 360 was at launch compared to what it is now.
Nothing similar, like the way that the interface worked and all that. So.
Well, yeah, but that's not like an interface thing, is it? I mean, that sounds like it'd be more of a architectural type thing.
But
you
would just open it up. You would create an app that allows for programming, and you would just open that aspect of it up.
I think that's the most stunning thing is how much they've been able to, like, just say, okay, we can just do something else. It's just so surprising how Xbox had this whole, like, vision, and they've been able to alter it, like, completely in consultation with their customers.
Yeah.
Like, they said, all right, people don't want that, they want this. It's like, we had this vision of an all-inclusive entertainment center in someone's living room, and people were like, well, I want to be a hardcore gamer, and I didn't really like your vision. And Microsoft's like, okay, fine, we'll change it. and it seems like they can do that, and I don't know how they can still do all of this stuff and still hit their release date in the fall. Like, they're making, like, huge, massive changes to their infrastructure and how they had envisioned this entire product, and it seems like they can do that kind of thing on the fly. It just seems really, really... I don't know, it's just really, really interesting how nimble they've become in that kind of aspect.
Well, I think the new consoles in general will probably be pretty flexible. I don't know. But, like, it also seems to me like then, like, why didn't they realize that people would want, like, to be able to publish indie games on there? Like, you know, with, like, self-publish anyways. Like, why didn't they realize?
But you have to remember the people who have been buying games from Microsoft in the past, like, 3 years have not been the hardcore gamer folks. That's not who their customers are.
Right.
Well, and even there, like, indie publishing, like self-publishing is great. Indie games are great, but they're not money makers.
No, not even a little bit.
Like, I mean, like for every Minecraft there is, there's 1,000 other games that nobody has ever played.
Yeah. Well, like I never played any of the indie games on Xbox Live, like the ones that they would put out, like.
Right. You know, I think that's one of the other problems they have. They kind of hide them too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did make it just part of the main Xbox Live Arcade, which I think they should. They should just do that.
But like, you know, section. No way. I understand exactly why they did not incorporate the Xbox indie games into Xbox Live Arcade, because you would be bombarded with controller massagers. And, like, no, I'm serious.
Let the market figure it out, man.
No, but the way Xbox Live Arcade, like the way any of that's curated is all alphabetical. So how the fuck are you gonna find anything you actually want to play? Like that was
right.
When they launched the Xbox Indie Channel, like it was kind of featured, like it was up front, like you still had to like go through all that, but it was there. And then eventually they were like, all right, like 99% of this shit is god awful. Let's just leave them to their own devices. And maybe not the best approach, but it's like this isn't doing anything for us. Push it off to the side.
Yeah.
It's like how many great titles came out of like the Xbox Indie area? Like
I don't know any.
Was it Penny Arcades on the Precipitous of Darkness or whatever the heck they call their series?
3 and 4 were done through there. The first two were done, like, actually published. But, yeah, those were there. Call of Cthulhu, Dark Corners of the Earth, Breath of Death 7, Beat Hazard, all started out as XNA titles. But now they're available on other things, so... But, yeah, like, a handful out of, like, the thousands and thousands that have been put up there. Like, I actually appreciate that they curated their system. And I hope that when they do this self-publishing, that there's a way for it to still be curated and I don't have to dig through shit to find, like, what I actually want.
Yeah. I think the other interesting thing about this story was it came out on the same day as news from Nintendo. Nintendo announced, or didn't announce so much as they were asked about their involvement with Japanese independent developers, and they said there was none, that they had no plans to do any sort of indie development for the Wii U.
But I'm pretty sure the Wii U is pretty pretty open platform for indie developers from what I saw.
See, here's the problem, though. You have your open platform. If Nintendo's not actually talking to the developers, how do they know how to use it?
I give Sony a lot of shit, and I'm still skeptical about a lot of what they're offering with the PlayStation 4, but what they've done a really great job with like this indie stuff is reaching out and getting the developers what they need. Helping, like, they have liaisons from Sony that, like, work directly with these developers and help them get their stuff published on the Sony platform. And, like, that's just something, like, I mean, it's obviously something that Xbox wasn't doing. What Microsoft wasn't doing, because to actually get on Xbox Live Arcade, you needed a publisher. And I don't know, like, I've looked through the eShop on the Wii U and on, like, the 3DS, and it's a fucking shit show. Like, the storefronts are not well designed, and it's hard to find anything.
Are you talking about the Wii U?
Both the Wii U and the 3DS. Like,
I think the 3DS is a little better, but the Wii U... I think the Wii U's problem is starting off it didn't have content, so it's just like, here's everything on one page, because that's all we got. Yeah.
Right, well, I think that the 3DS is like... It's a little bit easier to find stuff, but the way they have it curated on there is just like, it's all over the place. And
so many categories, like staff recommendations, like, you know.
Yeah, and it's... like there needs to be a better way, like, they need somebody to work on UI with them, and
it's serviceable.
It's ugly.
I can do it. I can deal with the 3DS one. And I think, yeah, the Wii U one, just, there's not a lot there to begin with. But they need, like, the Wii U one doesn't even, like, have, it's been a while since I've gone into the shop of the Wii U, but it doesn't even have categories where it's, like, virtual console, retail games, like, you know, it's just like, here's stuff. It's all on this page. Here you go.
Enjoy this stuff.
Buy all of it because we need you to.
Right.
One more piece of console launch news. Analyst Bayard did an analysis, analyst doing analysis, but whatever, of the supply chains for the launches this fall, and concluded that the Xbox One will outship the PS4 in terms of sheer number of units by somewhere between 2-1 and 3-1.
Who said this?
This was Bayard.
Is that American markets only, or?
That sounds like utter
That's
bullshit.
Worldwide.
That's worldwide? Because, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think Microsoft sells a lot more in the States, but I would think that Sony would sell less here, but a lot more.
Well, this is the sheer number of units that will be available for sale.
This is, there's nothing in terms of what's actually being sold, just what's going to be available.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
That doesn't surprise me. Sony's always had this sort of supply chain issue.
I think they'll both be really hard to get, dude.
Oh, they will. I think they will, but I think it's gonna hurt when the numbers start coming out. It's gonna hurt Sony fans a little bit to see those numbers, even if they don't really reflect
like
a lot
market.
Of consumer belief.
Dude, it's just
you can't sell systems that aren't available.
Right.
I'm leaving the company I'm going to work for, but I'm going to tell you right now, my store has 72 pre-orders on PlayStation 4. It has 27 Xbox Ones.
Which is fine, but I don't think your store is number one reflective of the market at large.
I've talked to other stores in the district. It's the same story everywhere.
But even GameStop, I don't think reflects the entire market. I think GameStop attracts a certain particular sort of customer.
But GameStop is taking the market. Like, alright, we had unlimited PlayStation 4 pre-orders for a while. Like, you could take as many as you want, right?
Right.
You know how that was happening? Because Sony was going to take whatever they're going to give the Best Buy and Walmart to us.
Right. And I think that's
so
one
gonna
of the things.
It's going to be really hard to get.
And you've said yourself that that GameStop did a lot more work on getting pre-orders for the PS4 than they did for the Xbox One.
Yeah, well, there was also just way more interest in it.
So I think looking at one particular GameStop store isn't really indicative of any sort of larger market conclusion.
No, it's company-wide.
Well, looking at GameStop company-wide, isn't going to show you Amazon, it's not going to show you Walmart, it's not going to show you Target, it's not going to show you Best Buy.
Well, and that...
Not necessarily, but that's a huge sample size, man. Like,
you're right, Jeff, but here's the thing. Like, if both Sony and Microsoft sell out of their initial shipments, it's going to come down at holiday time to who can get more shit into stores. And if Microsoft can get more stuff into stores in December than Sony can, and it's available, it will sell.
I think Microsoft has been a little conservative about it, because it's not, dude, GameStop will take the money. They don't care. But Xbox One has never had an unlimited weekend or whatever. Or it's just like,
right,
this is how many you have, that's it, and like, they cut it off super early, but there was also very little interest in the Xbox One.
Just from articles across the board, like, it seems like Xbox has taken maybe not on the pre-order side of things, but has definitely taken a strong position in the mind of the gaming industry.
But whatever, what other metric is there? Like, that's it. It's pre-orders. That's how the whole industry runs.
Well, yeah, and what we're saying is your pre-order isn't indicative of the entire industry. And I think you know that.
I don't know if I would agree
with
that.
Mr. King of Fighters is really popular at my store.
Well, that's true. That's true, but I have a good feel of what is going on in other stores besides mine. And, like, the Xbox One was kind of dead on arrival compared to PS4.
Yeah, and I think that has changed in the consciousness of consumers. I think when you look at, like, Amazon's top seller list, you'll see that Xbox One is at the top. It's not PS4.
Really?
And it's been that way for months now. Like, it's been that way since they made their tweaks to their...
Yeah, it's some of there's debate going back and forth about, like, how much that means. Like, there's one model of Xbox One, yet there
right,
are...
there's several of
multiple
Sony.
Multiple different bundles that people are selling for PlayStation 4. So it's hard
really?
To get a full... They're selling specialized bundles. Like,
well, all the big box retailers will do that. And if you go on GameStop.com, they'll do that too. But in our stores, you're just ordering the console and that's it. There's no bullshit bundle, which is a ripoff to begin with.
Right, but for some of these, like, where they are offering a bundle, like, that is how they view an item sale. So if Xbox One isn't being bundled, it is every sale of Xbox One is going towards the overall total. Whereas a Killzone bundle and a Drive Club bundle, they're counting as two separate ones. So the argument is that maybe
it's like, two different SKUs.
It's hard to get a full understanding of what it is. Is if you know they're bundled together, does that overtake the Xbox One?
The other thing you have to take into account is Microsoft is actually selling the Xbox 360 the Xbox One through the Xbox 360. Whereas I don't think Sony is actually selling the PS4.
Like, you could pre-order it through your 360 or whatever?
Yes, you can. Like, there's a link on the
It says
dashboard.
Get the Xbox One or something like that. Like,
so
I still think
order yours today.
Even I think it comes down to who could produce more, obviously.
Right. Like, well, and that's what this report that Tony
right.
was talking
and,
about.
And, yeah.
But I still think that there will be people, including myself, that go, I'll just wait for the PS4 because it's cheaper. Like, I don't... Now, I think Microsoft could combat this in a good way, and I think they will do it by offering different versions of it.
I
don't without the camera.
Will. I really
no,
don't think they will.
They did completely deny that today. That they would offer a version without the Kinect.
Or a version with, like, a shitty hard drive in it. Like, here's 20 gigs. Here's your Wii U version of the...
Well, I mean, but how much money are you saving there? Like, hard drives, like, the difference between a 250-gig hard drive and a 500-gig hard drive isn't going to drop you $100.
But then they know they could hit you on that later because you're going to be like, I want a bigger hard drive. You know, I don't...
Right, but this time around, you don't need a proprietary... You can attach any... external hard drive you want to the Xbox
to
One.
System.
Yeah. So okay, I mean, well, like they're not going to be able to like last gen, like if you wanted a hard drive for your Xbox, you needed a Microsoft branded hard drive. This time around, like you can go to Best Buy, buy yourself an external hard drive and buy a USB, like,
plug that sucker
plug
in.
Yeah. Like you don't need to go and get a specialized hard drive this time around. So yeah, I really don't see them backing out of Kinect unless, like, this launch goes really bad for them.
Right. Well, that's the other thing is when you look at the stories about the Wii U for last fall, they were all about how there aren't going to be enough Nintendo consoles on the market. And of course, we were all predicting that every console that they threw out there would get sold, and that didn't happen.
Well, that was true.
Wonder,
well, if that was
there's
true
enough
for 2 weeks.
What, was it true for 2 weeks? Like
it was true for 2 weeks.
It was true at GameStop. It was not true at Walmart.
Yeah,
it was not true at Target.
That the week that it launched, like day one it launched, like you couldn't get one.
Well, then I'm hoping it.
But that
might
next
be good news, because if I could go into Walmart when the PS4 comes out and just go buy it, that might be good for me because I don't have one pre-ordered.
But no, I'm just like for like at least from my experience was when the Wii U launched, like I bought mine at GameStop, but I couldn't go into Toys R Us and get one. I couldn't go into Target and get one that first day. But by Wednesday, Target had them in stock, and Toys R Us had them in stock. And then it became that stack of them in stock.
Yeah, like they were just sitting there. Like it became even at our stores where we're like, we are super tight on our allocations where it's like, this is what we think we're going to sell, so this is what we're going to get. Like we'll get five or whatever. You know what I mean?
Well, it's also, like, I mean, I've been in – plenty of GameStops. They're not big stores. They don't have big back rooms. And these aren't small devices either. Like, these aren't small boxes.
Yeah.
Like,
that's right. I can only imagine this fall when you get 72 Xboxes and you're like, or 72 PS4s and you're like, okay, where does this go?
Right.
Like, where does it go for real? Like, where does it go without, like you're setting them up on the counter, people are going to be walking out with them and just, like, grabbing them off the fucking counter. Like,
yeah,
thanks.
This isn't like with Rock Band where you could, like, set up, like, a pyramid in the middle of the store. Like, you fucking have to keep these things behind the back door.
Yeah, there's no security, like, there's no, like, security guard, like, you know, alarm, like there is at, like, a Best Buy. It's like, someone grabs something, they walk out, and they're gone, you know.
Bye.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I really do think, like, I don't know.
I think if Sony could produce, that $100 price point means a lot, dude. Even if, like, let's say it's sold out, I'll wait. Like, I'll wait for the PS4.
Yeah, you'll wait. But will a parent who is buying one of these things for their kid at Christmas wait?
Yeah.
I'll tell you this.
Not
like,
all of them. Not
The kids are usually always playing on their Xbox, and the parent, just by proxy, is just going to turn around and buy the Xbox One just by name.
Right.
Right. So you got some of that, and then you're also going to get, like, the kid goes, I want a PS4.
You got to have something under the tree. You can't have nothing.
Well, fuck, like, there's no PS4, and, like, I ain't getting into a Wii situation, and I'm also not going to be, like, put an IOU under the tree. I mean,
what if this causes the Wii U to take off this fall?
I don't see that happening, dude.
Dude, there's gonna be a lot more software out there.
Billy, I know that you really wanted that Xbox One, but we got you a Wii U instead. Fuck you, Mom.
Yeah, you get that. No.
It's gonna be the N64 kid all over, but it's gonna be a sad kid.
Throwing shit around, toppling the Christmas tree.
I think
this is the worst Christmas ever.
I think the Wii U gets some traction this fall, like a little bit.
Well, they're gonna need it. I mean, you're throwing out a remake of one of the best Zelda games, and then a brand new 3D Mario game. Like,
yeah, Mario, Zelda. There's a Sonic game. Like, there's stuff coming out for it, and you know, for some parents, they'll be like, that's a little cheaper. They play video games, right? You know.
Depends. Like, is it? It does. That's the thing. Like, you know,
don't
the
we
kids,
already have one of these?
Kids that play Madden, kids that play Call of Duty. Like, if those are the games they want for their new system, the Wii U's not.
But you don't.
That system.
You don't need the new system to play those games.
No,
that's the thing.
No, but like, if you're like, hey, I want, you know, PS4 with Battlefield 4 and Madden 25 on it. Well, the Wii U isn't it. Like, I mean, hey, I'll take one of these Wii U's because you have that in stock. Like, I also need a Battlefield 4 and Madden 25, and they're going to be like...
I will say this, though. I would bet you money. I'll bet you, like, actual money. Like, anyone wants to take me on this, that PS4 comes out king of the holiday season.
Define king.
They win. They sell them.
You think, like, when January MPDs come out, they will have sold more?
Yeah. I'll bet you $25. Anybody wants to take it?
I would take it. I'm not fully confident that either one is going to sell great, and we don't know what the numbers are that are going to be coming out.
I think it'll be... I think, actually, there is a little bit of renewed excitement about... New systems just kind of do that, I think, it seems like. But
didn't work for the Wii U, though.
No, it didn't.
Wow.
Because it kind of, like, released in a vacuum, and no one knew what it was. This round, like, this year, like, people know that the new systems are coming out, and they're making their choices. And I think, I mean, based on the internal numbers, the PS4 is going to crush fucking Xbox. But, like you guys said, there's other retailers, so.
Right, the people that I know have pre-ordered from Amazon, pre-ordered from Best Buy.
Yeah.
There are people that just won't shop at GameStop. Right?
No, and I don't blame them, and we could get into that in later episodes, but the thing about it to me is, I don't know, like, if there's that many people that are pre-ordering more PS4s, I don't know. It just seems.
I know from your store, like what the numbers you're stating. I know that the store that I am pre-ordered at, it's a little closer to than that. It's like 60-40 PS4, 3,
okay.
Xbox One. So, I mean, you're talking 3-1.
Very close. 2.67.
Yeah, like, but at, like, my store, it's like 60-40, and they still had some Xbox Ones. The last time I was in there, they had Xbox Ones they could take. I guess they're not doing any pre-orders at this point now, but so there was that, like, it wasn't that vast chasm, though.
It should be a lot closer than it is. I mean,
but there was also less that they had allocated, too. Like, they had, like, the boxes, and, like, he's like, we only have this amount, but we have this amount over here for the PS4, so. Who knows how that plays out, like.
I think that $100 price point, to me, that's the main reason for me, because, like, to me, it's like, okay, well, now the Xbox One is just as good as PS4 now. It, like, does a lot of the same things. Like, they're very similar. But $100 cheaper, fuck, that's a game. I could buy a game with it, you know, with that money.
But then again, you got to look at it from, number one, you get Kinect. Number two, that $100 price point is going to hurt Sony's bottom line. So when you start talking about when, I don't think NPD so much as I think of when I look at the company's financials, where are they? Is Sony screwing themselves with this lower price point?
Well, they're both screwing themselves probably a little bit, right? Like
yeah, and you wonder at the end of the day how much it is.
Well, anytime a console launches, don't they usually eat quite a bit at the bottom, at the, you know, the end game there? They do. They have to make that up, but.
Even Nintendo did that this round with the Wii U. Like,
they didn't have a choice, and that's probably just the way the game's going to be played now.
I mean, you have to sell it as a loss so you can get, because you make your money off the software. Unless you're Nintendo, you're not making money on anything.
You're not doing dick. That's okay. Pikmin 3 is going to save us. Don't worry.
I don't know. I still look at it at, you know, I still look at it as a software game. I know you're going, like, the $100 is a big deal, but for me, it always comes down to software.
There's just not that much. There's not much software on either system.
But
yeah, well, when there's like, enough.
Like, right now,
there's multi-platform shit, like Battlefield 4.
But right now, you're going, like, right now, right. And I would say, like, unless you have the money, there's not much.
There's no reason to get either one.
But come March, like, that's where it starts to get interesting, because Titanfall comes out, and that's something that, you know, the PS4 doesn't have.
I could get that on 360, though.
But it's not developed by the same team. It's not the same game.
Alright.
It's basically the Wii U version of Call of Duty.
Right.
Oh.
Boom.
Like, I mean, that's like, oh, it's on this. Well, like, so is Watch Dogs. Like, but right. It's gonna look better on this. It's gonna play better on these new systems. Like, Destiny is gonna be on everything, but it's gonna look better on PS4 and Xbox One than it is on 360 and PS3.
True, yeah, but like, that's a big one right there, where it's like, that's gonna be on both.
Right, you know? Right, but it's like, alright, Titanfall and Destiny, if those are the two games I'm looking at, like, and I want both, there's only one choice of which system to get.
Right. Yeah.
That makes sense, but, I mean, me personally, like, there's not really any of those 360 games. Like, Forza is the one game that I just really want, but that's about it.
The one for me is Dead Rising. Like, I want that game badly, and it's like, but it's not enough to, like, Dead Rising is not enough to sway me anymore.
Right, that's all I ask.
Where I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. Like, I would love to play it, but fuck, I'm not going to play $100 more to play that.
But what is swaying you to go on the other side?
It's cheaper. It'll play most of the games that I want to get anyways, and I think that Sony's has more, like, software mentality, where, like, they're going to just do different things with their software, where, like, Microsoft's like, here's Gears, here's Halo, here's Gears, here's okay. Halo, here's Forza, there you go. I hope you're happy.
Right, so... But you're basing this on what Sony's done
the past.
Previously.
Which
also hasn't paid off for Sony.
Yeah, I know, it sucks, but I get to play the games I'd like to play.
Wait a minute, what great Sony franchise do you like, Jeff?
Oh, their own personal franchises, there's not much.
So what are you saying? I'm a little confused here.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of like, okay, Microsoft or Sony knows software so well, but since they don't make any software that you like, then...
No, they don't, it's not that they don't make software that I like. I mean, they were the ones that brought fucking Demon's Souls to the market, you know?
Well, yes, in Japan, but not here.
Well, Demon's Souls was not on 360.
Right.
You know, when it first came out, like, that was a big thing.
But they also passed on making the second one. Allowing it to go multi-platform.
Right.
Yeah. But still.
So go Sony. Great decision there.
You know, I think you look at Sony's roster, it's more varied than Xbox, which is just like, it's Gears, Halo, and Forza. And Fable, which sucks. Like, it'd be great if Fable was a good, like, fantasy RPG, then yeah. But it's not. It's not good at all. In my opinion, I know, like, I think Tony, you like Fable a little bit. I liked the first one,
and then it got worse and worse. I liked Fable 2 okay. I did not like Fable 3 very much.
But it's like, Sony just feels like it has that more quirky, like, experimental side to it.
I think he needs a lot of, like, the PSN games and stuff.
Yeah, where it's like,
you got Pictures of Monsters, Eden,
Tokyo
Flower, Journey,
which are all games that Jeff does not like.
I loved Unfinished Swan. I thought that was a beautiful game.
I thought he liked Journey.
Jeff hated Journey.
Oh,
I didn't hate it. I didn't despise it.
My
opinion on Journey is it should have been $10. That's my opinion.
So you thought it was $5 too much?
Yeah, it was a third too much.
I don't know. See, like, I understand what you're saying, Jeff, but like, I'm also looking at like. Maybe it's just me dealing in finance for so long, but I look at all these games that Sony's released over the last like 4 or 5 years, and I look at how few of them have turned into any sort of success.
Last of Us is a huge success.
Yeah, okay, so that's Naughty Dog. So anything Naughty Dog sells. So I still invest in Naughty Dog. But do I continue to invest in maybe Insomniac and Ratchet and Clank going forward after the PS3? That's off. Do I invest in the Sly Cooper franchise? Because nobody bought the last one of that.
Yes, it'll live. Don't you worry. It's going to be fine.
But nobody bought it. I'm not going to invest more money into that. Killzone does fairly good for them. So I probably invest money in that. I've already killed off Resistance, because nobody bought those after the first one. I'm investing money in Infamous, which isn't a moneymaker, but I'm hoping that there's something there.
I think. They
and I'm investing money in Gran Turismo. Even the Quantic Dream stuff, like that has to be a huge financial undertaking. For what? For like an art piece?
That's the thing. That's why I like Sony.
A business, you can't keep doing that unless you want to shut down. So as a business, I stopped doing that.
So you fear PS4 because like it might be just a failure because of that, or like
I fear a lot of things about PS4. One, I still don't feel that they have their online infrastructure intact. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous how long. Like, if I want to go play a PS3 game right now. I turn it on, I need to update my PS3. That's a 5-minute excursion. I need to update the game. It's another 5-minute.
Then you have to install the update.
Right, and then the install on the update, which is a 10-minute excursion. So it's a half hour before I even start playing the fucking game. And yes, I get that. If I utilize PlayStation Plus properly, that's all done in the background. But why does that take that long at all? I turn my Xbox on. If there's a system update, it automatically downloads 30 seconds. To a minute.
Yeah. There's no you download something, that's it. There's no install afterwards.
Right, it downloads and installs all at once. And then, you know, if I download a game and it needs an update, it updates immediately, like 30 seconds to a minute, and I'm playing my game.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still really scared that PlayStation does not have that aspect of it handled.
I think it will. I have to imagine. I mean, it's 2013.
But like, exactly. Christ. It's 2013 and the PlayStation 3 still works the same way.
Yeah, but that was designed a long time ago. Like, they're gonna...
But the Xbox so was the designed Xbox. A long time ago and they've had it that way since they...
Yeah, then that was their years. Mistake. And that was their mistake, but I have to think
but
that they learned.
But you can update that stuff via firmware and other stuff too. Like, that's a server side thing. There's something wrong with their network system.
It has to go all the way to Japan.
Right, is that what
it's
doing? Like,
yeah,
that's how it works.
Like, I don't understand why it takes that long. It's like, I get quick speeds on Steam, I get quick speeds on my Xbox, and then I turn my PlayStation on and it's slow as shit.
Well, I heard Wii U is even slower when it comes to downloading games, so there's that.
So what you're saying is if it's a Japanese-made console, they don't understand the internet.
I guess, yeah.
That's what kind of scares me a bit. Like, I mean, that's my biggest concern.
Dude, when they're talking about how you can play the games and stream them while you're downloading, and both consoles will do that, it's like...
Right, I mean,
right,
you have to have some sort of network infrastructure.
Here's
sort of integrity.
Here's the thing,
game
when
the middle of it while you're playing it, like, buffering.
Here's my problem with that is, Sony says this stuff, but I'm still waiting for things that they promised with interactivity between the PSP and the PS3. They're now promising that same stuff with the Vita and the PS4. Like, this is stuff you promised 10 years ago, you weren't able to get it done then. Where is my trust in you that you're going to get it done this time? Where's my trust that you're going to be able to get the network systeming right this time around? Like, it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, okay, Xbox is giving you this, Sony's giving you this, they're both the exact same thing. I just have more confidence that Microsoft is going to hit that goal where I'm not sure that Sony is.
Well, in my case, I feel like the PS4 will give me more interesting experiences, and the only thing I'll miss from Xbox really is Halo. And a couple things here and there, like Dead Rising, that sucks that I'll miss out on that. But I'm like, dude, I'll go with the cheaper, more interesting console than...
But you're hoping that it's more interesting.
I mean, well,
so you're banking on hope.
I'm banking on the fact that I know Microsoft's not going to go like, here's the new Conquer. They're not going to do it. They're just not. Like,
okay, so maybe you don't get the new Conquer, but they have invested $1 billion into bringing exclusive titles to the Xbox One.
All right, if you give me $100, I'll get the Xbox One.
I'm not trying to, like, I'm just trying to understand, like, why your confidence is so high in Sony. Like, what have they
done?
I know,
well, from a financial side, maybe they could fuck it up and could fall apart and I'll be sad, but, like, I just know that they're gonna go after more interesting concepts than Microsoft does. Microsoft plays it pretty safe in that regard, where it's like, here's Gears, here's Halo, here's, you know, Forza, and only out of those three, I only care about Halo. Halo's fun, but I'll sacrifice it. That's not even accurate there, though.
Like, right. I mean, they invested money in Dance Central. Like, okay, you don't give a shit about that, but they invested money in Rise. They invested money in that new Super Brothers game that's coming out. Like, that's something completely different from anything they've done. They invested money in Project Spark. Like, these are things that this isn't just Halo, Gears, and Forza.
Yeah, but like, the other things that they're pushing, I'm like, I'm not interested in. Like, I'm just not. like maybe Project Spark is cool, okay, but I don't care.
I'll
save myself $100. Thank you, Don.
But
I'm going to be okay.
But Chris has a really solid point. Like,
no, I hear what you guys are saying.
Yeah, I'm basically putting my money into Sony just on brand loyalty. However,
yeah, my only loyalty is into Nintendo, which is weird.
Well, the Vita was just like, whenever it was announced, I still remember. I was like, holy shit, that is awesome. And then every probably week up until for about 3 months up until that thing launched. Like, every week there was something new that was just like, really? What the fuck are you doing, Sony? And it just kept escalating. And surprisingly, I still bought the thing. but
yeah, you should have done that.
Well, I don't regret buying it, but I mean, they really just, like, they took this really awesome thing and fucked it up. It's still a great piece of hardware.
It's awesome. It really is.
They really could have been way better. And from what they made it seem whenever they announced it, which is how the PS4 sounds right now, really awesome. Like, there's still a lot of time for them to fuck it up.
Well, like, when you look at the Vita, that if there was ever a dying console, people, like, pick on the Wii U. The Vita is a dying console.
There's a lot of, like, small games coming to that, like, now, like, every week.
Yeah, good for them. Like, what, on the shop or whatever? Like, the...
Yeah.
Because there's nothing coming to retail. There's nothing.
Oh, yeah.
No, and exactly. That's great for those of us that already own a Vita. It's not good for them selling more of them.
Yeah, right. it's... Dude, the Vita's in a very bad place. There's nothing coming out. There's nothing... The only thing I'll ever buy... I don't own a single retail game for the Vita. If I ever buy one, it might be Batman. That's it. It's like,
Batman's going to be awesome.
Killzone. It's like, that's great for me to have that. Has
interested
it,
in Killzone, but... Terraria. There's a bunch of, like, little PSN games that... Rainbow Moon. I can't wait till that comes over. But... So... Anyway.
I mean, and I should point out that I am getting both consoles. Like, I'm not trying to convince anybody of buying one over the other. Like, I am getting both.
I will get both. I will eventually.
It's just like, I just don't know where you're, like, I just have so little confidence in Sony.
Yeah.
That I am afraid that, like, a lot of these promises that they're offering, they're just not going to hit on. Like, I'm actually more interested in the PS3 lineup this fall than I am in the PS4 lineup.
Gran Turismo 6.
Yeah, I'm more interested in current gen this fall than I am in next gen, because, like, everything I want is on the current gen, except for Watch Dogs, which is also on current gen. So, anyways, BRB.
Got any more news, Tony?
Yeah, how about some... SimCity news, because we had some sales figures.
Sure.
SimCity has actually sold more than 2 million units.
Nice. That's pretty good.
Despite their launch disasters.
I kept waiting for that to go on sale on Steam, and then I realized, oh, shit, it's not on Steam.
It's not on Steam. That would
that'd
be really nice, just having my Steam library instead of having to open up Origin. I hate Origin.
Oddly, this news came out in conjunction with other EA news.
Okay.
So anyway, this came out with other Steam news or EA news. They announced that The Sims 4 will not have the online component that SimCity had.
Nice.
That's good.
Cool.
Yes, I am unsurprised.
Yeah, no surprise.
Apparently they don't
there.
Like the disastrous launch.
I'm sure they'll mess it up somehow. Like, if
they'll
there's,
find some other way to break it. Yeah.
If there's a company I have less confidence in than Sony, it's EA. And I like EA's games. Like, it's Jesus. Is there any other news? Or is that about it? Do we lose Tony?
I don't know. He's getting kind of warbly there for
a
minute.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
I'm here. All right. Oh, yeah. Or ooh, yeah. Or however you say that damn thing.
Oh, yeah.
Sales figures.
Not
so much in terms of consoles, but in terms of the games that are actually purchased by people. Not good. There have been some of the publishers have been saying things like they've been making a little over $30 a day off of their Ouya sales.
Wow.
Some of the highly rated games, the game Hidden in Plain Sight, which was the number one game according to Joystick.
Okay.
Has made so far $4,381.
Wow.
The game Nimble Quest, for example, has been, it has a free option. It's only been purchased 122 times. It's only earned $427 for its producer.
Nice.
Basically, it's a story of financial failure after financial failure after financial failure.
I can't believe they sold that many copies of the system to begin with.
So. Oregon Trail, which has done rather well on Steam.
Yeah.
Oregon Trail only sold 500 units on the system.
I don't know. I haven't used it. I've heard that the thing is a mess. The controller is basically a plastic piece of junk. And the people that I've listened to that have utilized the system, they just play the demos on the system,
right,
and then move on, like, to something else, like.
Nice. That's a nice demo box you got there.
Right.
Piece of junk.
Basically.
That thing is garbage.
Well, it's a system that plays phone games.
Yeah. So it's
on your television.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not, like, there are quite a few mobile games that are actually pretty good. But they are not designed for your television. And there are other ways to do it. In fact, Don just got one today. Like, they're shipping one out to him. It's like a controller and a dongle that he can, like, hook his Android device up to his television and play that way. Like, what makes the Ouya, like, need to buy?
Nothing.
The thing is dead on arrival. It was dead months ago.
Did you get any in, Jeff? Did they sell them in your store?
We did.
Oh,
we
really?
Got one. We got one for the person who pre-ordered it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't actually get any to sell, just the pre-order?
Yeah, because I think they knew
nobody was gonna.
This thing is dead, dude. Ouya, there won't be an Ouya in a year from now.
No, I mean, sometimes Kickstarter doesn't work out, I guess.
Guess not.
They are selling the controller for that thing for $50.
I know. That's half the price of it. That's
right, half the price of the system.
That's half of what is, there's not much technology in either component. Like, there's not much technology in the system or the controller. So.
It looks like such a piece of crap.
It's a piece of shit. Yeah. They were trying to get me to sell that fucking shit for like I don't know, about a month back in, I want to say, April. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, no, I don't want to piss off people because I tricked them into buying this fucking thing. You know, I was like, I'm never ever going to pitch that to anybody, and I never did. I think it's a joke.
Yeah, I can see why. I am interested to see how Don's experience with his new controller goes, though. So.
Oh, you got one coming too. So.
Cool. Can't wait to play mobile games on my television.
Yeah.
If we can even figure out how to make it work.
I think I'm mostly interested in the controller aspect, but.
I mean, there are definitely games like, I mean. I think I talked briefly about it a couple weeks ago, but like Deus Ex The Fall on the iPad, like that game looks great, but it plays like shit.
Yeah, I'm just not a
needs
big
a controller.
Fan of, yeah, unless it's just like tapping the screen, I'm just not a fan of.
Yeah, like the game
the
I spent the most time playing this week.
And shit.
I mean,
that Pac-Man Fever game?
Yeah, that game was great. Like it's just a. Like a constant running platformer where you tap to jump, and that's it. Like, it's really simple control that works for the device that it's on. Oh well. Any other news?
That was all I had.
Do we have questions, Jeff?
No.
We have questions.
Oh, really?
We do.
In our Twitter feed, right? From Justin?
Yes.
Let's see. Explain the Steam card thing we did. Explain Chromecast and how it works. Anybody know what Chromecast is?
Never heard of it, but I'm Googling it now.
Sounds gay.
I think Google will tell us how this works.
Devices on Google Play. Whoa. Easiest way to enjoy online video and music on your TV.
Yeah,
plug Chromecast into any HD TV and control it with your existing smartphone, tablet, or laptop.
So it's like
send your favorites.
Dongle that plugs into your television?
Yeah.
Probably by like HDMI, and then it interfaces with your Android device.
Yep. $35.
There you go.
Ships in 3 to 4 weeks.
There it is, Chromecast. Have any idea?
Not
I'm excited. I'm not excited.
This question comes in to Don. Have you ever had sexual relations with that woman?
Probably yes.
Really?
Probably.
I knew those kids came from somewhere.
Yeah. I think that's it. I don't see anything else.
That's good though, because
this is
really
an important question.
Yep, that was the one we're gonna end it on, so
nice.
We'll be back next week. I'm sure we'll have more shit to play. I will have played Shadowrun Returns hopefully by then, so
I will have played nothing but XCOM and Deus Ex.
XCOM, you need to go through and rename like your whole squad with friends and stuff, man.
I don't want to cry when they die.
No, that's the point. That's like half of the game right there.
Yeah, first you need to learn how to play so your people.
Yeah, I got it. I get an idea. I kind of get it now, but yeah.
That was how you died.
I love. Here's the thing that makes me laugh about the game. It's like, I could be like, I don't know, behind a park bench, and these motherfuckers will be like elevated through sidewalk and shit, where there's no way my shot would reach them. It's like 57%. I'm like, okay. And I go shoot, and it's like the bullet just magically goes through the whole environment and shoots them. I'm like, that's awesome.
Go through things.
I guess, yeah.
That was actually, if I remember right, one of the reasons I did not give that game a 5. I gave it a 4.5.
It was weird, because you'd be like, visually, you'd be like, yeah, there's no way. And then it's like, oh, 57%, okay, cool.
I'm trying.
It's like, the environment does not really factor into it as much as you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool, though. I was surprised that I liked it as much as I did.
We all told you.
Yes.
I know.
It's been months. It was my game of the year last year.
So now you guys have to buy Pikmin.
Why? What does that have to do with anything?
Saying you have to.
I'm getting Pikmin, Jeff.
I know you are. You are.
I would have to get a Wii U first.
Right. That's kind of my problem.
Worth it.
All right. So right now my choice would be Wii U or Xbox One, and that's not a choice in my.
Can't blame you.
Nice.
Although honestly, if it were me, I might be like, yeah, I'll go Wii U. There's gonna be like Mario and Sonic and all these games out by then, so. I would, honestly, I might just go, I'll get the Wii first and I'll get the Xbox a year down the road. Think about it. Do it. Get the Pikmin.
Get the Xbox in March when Titanfall comes out.
Mm-hmm.
No.
There's nothing right off the bat. Wait for tax season. See what happens.
Tax season.
I gotta buy one of the systems.
Wait, treat you guys. Throw that out there. Not anymore, anyway.
I love tax season.
Yeah, once you have kids though, man, you should like that's like an instant couple grand.
Dude.
It is, but then when you earn a lot more money than your wife,
then
she gets moved up to your tax bracket. It kind of causes pain.
Oh well, resubscribe to us on iTunes.
Yes, do that. You have to listen to this, right?
Yeah, which we will listen. Well, I mean, you wouldn't have had to because it does appear on the website. So, and you can listen to it right from there. So if you are listening to this on the website, go to iTunes and subscribe to us. Give us thumbs up or whatever you do on iTunes. Rate us up. Give us a review. Tell people how great we are, even if that's a lie.
Lie for us.
Right. Lie for us. That would be great. You know, check out criticallysane.com, where this podcast is now hosted. Let us know what you think of the site. We need to know.
Tell me.
We're going to be launching officially to the public, not just, you know, our listeners and friends and people that we are associated with on the internet. We'll be letting strangers in very shortly. So,
I'm scared.
Yeah, we don't want us to be.
But not that Anthony Weiner guy, because
he's weird. He's a creeper.
That fucking dumb motherfucker.
Yeah, that dude's a creeper. Follow us on Twitter, Perfectly Sane at Perfectly Sane Show.
P-Sane Show.
I don't even know what our Twitter is.
P-Sane Show, yes.
Created it so long ago. Follow us there. Follow Jeff at JustSomeDude99. Tony at I Am Napoleon. Don at The Sober. Sober.
Yeah.
You're going to have to change that for the show.
And me at Korea9. Hit us up. I also follow Fozzy. He will be rejoining us on a part-time basis. Don will be here on a part-time basis as well. Let us know about the website. That'd be great.
Yeah.
We love feedback. Love it.
I just want money. Send me money.
So money, beers, and bitches.
And bells. I need those bells.
I'm gonna send you soap.
Hard up.
Soap. Soap and a necktie.
Alright, say goodbye, Jeff.
Goodbye, Jeff.